Welcome to The Inner Room, a space where we ponder the inner movements of our heart to find God by finding examples and instructions in daily scripture readings. The emotions in our hearts can help us or hinder us in our spiritual journey. Open your heart, explore your emotions, and align thoughts and emotions with God's plans for you. When we learn to feel and align our emotions, we advance in our prayer life by loving more deeply, remaining in peace more often, and finding courage for the journey of life. My name is Sofia Fonseca de Niño, and a big shout out to my son Marco Niño, producer of this podcast. Sit back or walk with us. You are most welcome here. This story of Abraham going up the mountain with his son Isaac to sacrifice him is one of the hardest readings in the Bible. I think for me, definitely, and for a lot of people that I know, it is a story that stirs something fundamental within us that says, why would God ask something like this? We find this story at the very beginning of the Bible, and this is after God has had a covenant with Abraham. He's asked him to leave the land of Ur. He's promised him a life of abundance, a descendant, and a promised land, and his wife conceives a child when he is in his 90s. So here we have him going up the mountain, his only son, when he's over 100 years old. And we watch him with his son, who is much younger and could have fought him and overturned him if he's being placed on this altar. And we hear the words between the son, Isaac, and the father, where is the animal for the sacrifice? The exchange that Moses writes and tells us between the father and the son are part of that stirring that, in few words, we are given as a way of meditating. Isaac could have definitely overtaken his father. So this means that Isaac is willingly coming up this mountain as well, and is willingly waiting to see what is the plan. The father says, God will provide, which is one of the names of God, God the provider. The faith that Abraham has is tremendous in that statement, that he knows the character of God so deeply that even when he's been asked to do something completely crazy, truly, to kill your only son, is completely outside of the character of God. But something in that statement of Abraham lets us know that Abraham knows that God will provide. And yet, he has to walk through all the steps to go up to the mountain where significantly the temple of Jerusalem will be built. So this is the place of sacrifice that God is instituting, where he's letting us know he himself will be Abraham. He will give us his only son to be sacrificed for us. In that impossibility of that request, God is letting us feel his own pain as a father, that he will be asked to bridge the gap left by sin between men and God, for his only son to step in and be the one who bridges that gap. But you can imagine in this incredible story, Isaac laying on that altar, and we see Abraham lifting the knife. And then it's the messenger from God that says, Abraham, Abraham. He's called by name at this point of covenant, where he is taking every step, friend, just like God may be asking in your life to do something that you're really afraid of and you don't understand. God has a plan for your life. God has a covenant for your life. God has appointed you to this place and time. He's provided you with everything you need. And he's asking something of you. But at that moment, we hear the words of Abraham. With knife lifted, son tied to the altar, he says the words in Hebrew, Hineni, here I am. He doesn't question God or his character. He knows until the very moment of this action that stirs something in us that is frightening, that the Lord will provide. How great a faith, friends, that we can ask the Lord to increase our faith, that we know his character so much and so well, and trust in him so much and so deeply, that in the middle of what he requests of us, we do not waver. And the Lord provides an animal that can be sacrificed. And we will see that over this same mountain, Solomon will build a temple. And on this mountain, Jesus will be sacrificed in Calvary. The beauty of those echoes of the same story, that God lets us know in his heart of hearts, he is a father, he has a promise, and he sent his only son so that he could bridge the gap and step into it. The church pairs that story with the story of the transfiguration. Why would the church do this? In one story, we see the humanity of a father-son relationship, and that in the context of God as the provider. And in this story of the transfiguration, we see Jesus going up to Mount Tabor, another mountaintop, but in this place, we are going to see Jesus displaying his full divinity. And that full divinity with that inner circle of these three apostles that are with him up there is going to show us that the prophets and the law, because Moses and Elijah appear, are going to be the bookends to this divinity that Jesus shows. I am God. Do not tell others. I am God. He is God incarnate. He is the one that is going to be the Lamb slain, but he is God. He left his throne just like Abraham left Ur and went to the promised land. Jesus is leaving his throne in heaven and coming down for the whole purpose of the sacrifice that is a stumbling block for so many. Friends, as we walk in Lent, the church gives us a way to pray with Psalm 116. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. The Lord is walking in our land, the land of the living, and we walk with him. We believe that the Lord is teaching us today, that his word is activated in us, and that this psalm can be a way to pray within this incredible tension of God's divinity made flesh and fully human. And we can pray, I believed even when I said, I am greatly afflicted. Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones. Lord, I am your servant, the son of your handmaid. You have loosed my bonds. To you will I offer sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call upon the name of the Lord. The vows to the Lord I will pay in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in the midst of Jerusalem. This is the place that the Lord anoints with the covenant, saying, you do not require the sacrifice. I will provide it, and he will be my son. The church gives us today also the reading of Romans 8. Brothers and sisters, if God is for us, who can be against us? This is something Abraham knows deeply. God is with him. He has made him a promise that already is incredible because he conceives a son at age 90 something. And the Lord has promised him that he will create a great nation out of that son. And Paul tells us in Romans, God did not spare his own son, but handed him over for all of us. Who will bring a case against God's chosen one? It is God who acquits us. No one can condemn us. Friends, let us know that we are part of that incredible promise and covenant, and that the Lord wants to make that covenant and that promise alive within your life. So as you meditate upon these readings, what in your heart needs to be transformed? What in your heart needs to be given over so that this promise that God has made for us of salvation can take a deeper effect in this Lenten season? We are shown the divinity of God, so when we see him hanging on the cross, we remember God left the throne for our sake. And he died and shed his blood so that we can have eternal life. So let us go to the throne. Father Almighty, we come to you with praise and thanksgiving because you have walked amongst us. Thank you that you sent your only son. We do not deserve to serve in your court, but you call us and we say like Abraham, Hineni. Here we are in our imperfection, in our impurity, in our neglect of our duties, in our love that is not faithful. We ask, Father, that you forgive us and that you give us the grace to do a better job, to recommit to our Lenten practices, to recommit to the promises that you have given us, to believe more clearly in who you are. Not what we expect you to be or how much you should give us, but who you are in your nature. Jehovah Jireh, the provider, the one that gives us, first of all, his love and promise, the gift of our faith, and ultimately your only son, Father, that he will die for us so that we will have eternal life. May this Lenten season, may we deepen our understanding for this sacrifice and enter more deeply into the passion, into the suffering, into all that his body endured for our sins that are crucified there. And we ask all these things in the name of Jesus, asking very specially for the people in our life that do not believe, do not love, and do not adore. Amen. Hello, this is Sofia Fonseca de Niño, and I welcome you to this Inner Room. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram under the Inner Room, Emotions in the Bible. And we would love to hear your questions, your ideas, or your comments. Thank you for joining us today.